The apostle told the saints there in Corinth that he practiced a lifestyle of self-denial. Paul was committed to self-denying service toward other people so that he might save some unto the glory of God. But remember, friends, the apostle told the saints that this is to be our lifestyle. So at the end of that passage, it's actually the very beginning of chapter 11, 1 Corinthians 11:1. What does he say? Be imitators of me, Paul says, as I am of Christ. It's quite a statement. And today, friends, we take a break from 1 Corinthians so that we may consider how we can be more like Paul. In a manner of speaking, what I mean is ultimately more like Christ. How we can be imitators of Christ as Paul was. And more than that, actually grow into the likeness of our Lord Jesus. In Colossians 1, the Apostle Paul teaches that God's plan of salvation is ultimately a matter of Christ being in you, the hope of glory. That's our sermon title taken from here, from our passage here in Colossians 1. Christ in you, the hope of glory. Let's read now the living and holy word of God, starting here in verse 24 of Colossians 1. This is God's word. Now I rejoice in my sufferings for your sake, and in my flesh I am filling up what is lacking in Christ's afflictions for the sake of his body, that is the church, of which I became a minister according to the stewardship from God that was given to me for you to make the word of God fully known, the mystery hidden for ages and generations, but now revealed to his saints. To them God chose to make known how great among the Gentiles are the riches of the glory of this mystery, which is Christ in you, the hope of glory. Him we proclaim, warning everyone and teaching everyone with all wisdom, that we may present everyone mature in Christ. For this I toil, struggling with all his energy that he powerfully works within me. For I want you to know how great a struggle I have for you and for those at Laodicea and for all who have not seen me face to face, that their hearts may be encouraged, being knit together in love, to reach all the riches of full assurance of understanding and the knowledge of God's mystery, which is Christ, in whom are hidden all the treasures of wisdom and knowledge. I say this in order that no one may delude you with plausible arguments. For though I am absent in body, yet I am with you in spirit, rejoicing to see your good order and the firmness of your faith in Christ. Therefore, as you received Christ, Jesus the Lord, so walk in him, rooted and built up in him, and established in the faith, just as you were taught, abounding in thanksgiving. Word of God from Colossians 1 this morning. Beloved congregation of Christ Jesus and friends, what would Jesus do? Some years ago, decades now, the evangelical Christian community was fixated on this question. What would Jesus do? You would see that question on t-shirts, perhaps, or on bracelets that people were wearing all the time, on bumper stickers. I mean, it's all over the place. What would Jesus do? And, of course, you understand, friends, it meant how can we as Christians think and live in a way that is more like our Savior, our Lord Jesus? How can we be good like he is? How can we be more humble? How can we be more righteous? How can we be more loving? All good things. The problem is that evangelicals, in many quarters anyway, were asking this question, what would Jesus do? But maybe not thinking enough about what did Jesus do. It's been a problem in evangelical Christianity at times, assuming the gospel. Yeah, we're Christians, you know, we know the gospel, we all believe it. Yes, Christ died for sinners, and praise God for that. But we need to move on. Let's move on now. Let's get down to serious business and change the world by being Jesus to others. That's how the thinking goes. And friends, it's very wrong-headed, as a matter of fact. A way of thinking corrupts the faith, corrupts the church itself in many different ways. But you know what, brothers and sisters, it actually is important for us, if we are Christian people, to ask the question, what would Jesus do? It's not an inappropriate question. But by all means, let's be sure that we keep focusing on what he already did. His great work of redemption, work which no one can repeat. Work of redemption which no one dare try to imitate. That's not for us at all. But the gospel grace of our God must grip our hearts in such a way that we believers strive to become more like our Lord. In fact, friends, this must be your goal as a Christian believer, because it is God's ultimate goal for you. Christ in you, the hope of glory. Our theme today, friends, the Christian can imitate Christ and will become more like Christ, because he who died for us now lives in us. It's what Paul experienced in his own Christian life. So much so that he could tell the Corinthians, be imitators of me as I am of Christ. The apostle realized that God had shaped him into a model for other Christians to follow. He practiced a lifestyle of self-denial so that he could serve other people, commend the gospel to them, in the hope that more might be saved through faith in Jesus Christ. Here in Colossians 1, Paul explains how that self-denying way of Jesus was also on display in his apostolic ministry. Notice what he says in verse 24, "Now I rejoice in my sufferings for your sake, and in my flesh I'm filling up what is lacking in Christ's afflictions for the sake of his body, that is the church, of which I became a minister." Nothing was lacking in the afflictions of Christ in terms of accomplishing our redemption. Paul doesn't mean anything like that. That, you know, he's adding to the shed blood or the obedience of Jesus in order to save people. Not at all. Nothing was lacking in the work of Christ. By his obedience unto death, our Lord Jesus Christ reconciled sinners to God once and for all. In fact, his bloody afflictions were enough to reconcile all things to God. Did you, just a few verses earlier, if you'd look in Colossians 1, verse 19, Paul says, speaking of Jesus, he says, "For in him all the fullness of God was pleased to dwell, and through him, through Christ, God was pleased to reconcile to himself all things, whether on earth or in heaven, making peace by the blood of his cross." Cosmic redemption. It doesn't mean every single person's going to be saved. But yes, indeed, the apostle means the bloody death of Christ actually accomplishes reconciliation of the universe to God. Things in heaven and things on earth. Jesus did not need Paul to add anything to his suffering on the cross for the redemption of sinners, okay? But Paul knew that he also had to suffer as a minister of the gospel. And that was necessary for all kinds of different reasons. But what he touches on here in Colossians 1, particularly verse 24, he touches on the fact that his suffering was something that God used to advance and adorn the gospel of Christ, so that many people were, in fact, saved through Paul's ministry. Yes, by the message he proclaimed, but also by the manner of his ministry. Suffering as he proclaims the suffering of Christ. Paul has said so much about this in 1 Corinthians. I'm sure that many of you can recall. Well, this is why Paul rejoiced in his suffering while preaching the cross. A lot more could be said about it, friends, but one thing it demonstrated is that God is pleased to advance his kingdom through Christians who are conformed to the image of his Son. And there are things peculiar about Paul's ministry. He was an apostle of Jesus Christ. There are things peculiar to Paul and to other apostles, okay? But friends, this is what he's getting at the end of 1 Corinthians 10. Really, throughout chapters 8, 9, and 10, we've been thinking about it for many weeks. A life of self-denial that he says is for all of us as Christians, that we may advance the gospel and see others come to salvation through Christ. Beloved of the Lord, we are all to be engaged in the spread of the gospel throughout the world. But the word of Christ, please understand, that word will most effectively be spread by us when that word shapes Christ in us. Well, what does Paul mean by saying Christ in you, the hope of glory? Would you notice our key verse here? Verse 27, Paul says, Colossians 1:27, to them, to the saints, God chose to make known how great among the Gentiles are the riches of the glory of this mystery, which is Christ in you, the hope of glory. My first point then, friends, God's glorious plan of salvation is to give us his Son and make us just like his Son. This is what Paul's getting at when he says, Christ in you, the hope of glory. God's glorious plan of salvation is to give us his Son and make us just like his Son. Take everything that was ruined by human sin, redeem it in Christ Jesus, and bring about renewal through Christ Jesus. Now, you're not going to read there in our passage the words plan of salvation, but that's essentially what Paul means with this word mystery. It's God's plan of salvation, which he reveals in his word, throughout his word. And Paul says it was hidden for ages and generations. Not that it was totally hidden, okay? Because God, through the Old Testament prophets, he revealed actually quite a lot about his plan of salvation. What he would accomplish through the coming Messiah. Right? God's anointed servant, the Christ. You read that all over the Old Testament prophets, right? How God would not only save Israel, how he would save not only the Jewish people, but also Gentiles, people of all nations, so that people from all over the world would belong to the kingdom of God and of his Son, Jesus Christ. But once Christ did come into the world and accomplished redemption, the mystery is made known. And that's what Paul's getting at here, particularly in verses 26 and 27. That mystery of God, the plan of salvation, is made more fully known than it ever was in the Old Testament prophets. And then that message of salvation spreads throughout the world through the apostles in the first place, especially by Paul, apostle to the Gentiles. Well, notice what he says. Paul says that God is making the mystery known to his saints. That would be Jew and Gentile, okay? But to be more specific, notice his language in verse 27. He says that God is making known among the Gentiles how great are the riches of the glory of this mystery. So it's a plan for glorious salvation. Immeasurable riches that God graciously gives to sinners who deserve nothing but damnation through God's perfect justice. How can God, this holy God of heaven, give us this glorious gift of kingdom salvation when we only deserve to be condemned to hell for all of our sin and ingratitude and rebellion? How can that be? Well, Paul tells us earlier in chapter 1, he says it's not because of anything we did or ever will do. It's entirely because of what God has done in sending Christ for us. I want you to think with me about Christ for us for a moment. Colossians 1 verse 12, this is why we're to give thanks to God the Father, who has qualified you to share in the inheritance of the saints in light. He's delivered us from the domain of darkness and transferred us to the kingdom of his beloved Son, in whom we have redemption, the forgiveness of sins. We sinners belong to the dark, the kingdom of darkness, headed for damnation. Paul says, however, God qualified us. He qualified us for his kingdom by graciously sending his own Son into the world so that Christ Jesus could satisfy God's justice that stood against us. By his obedient life and sacrificial death as a true man, Christ Jesus, the God-man, fully accomplished the redemption of sinners, rescued us out of the dark, rescued us out of damnation, reconciled us to God the Father, so that we get the kingdom, everlasting life in God's kingdom, not by our good works, but as Paul says there in verse 14, only through the forgiveness of our sins. It is ours through the shed blood of Christ alone. As we trust in him, the only Savior, as we rely upon the work that he's done as our great Redeemer. If any of you here today, by God's grace, by the light of his word, understand yourself to be in the dark, the darkness of your sin, turn from it today. Turn from all your sin, confess it to God in sorrow, in humility. Trust in the work of his Son, Jesus. Call on the name of that only Savior, for he lives. Call upon him in faith. He will grant full and free salvation to all who believe in him. That's the gospel Paul preached, friends. That's what he gives us there in those verses I just read earlier in chapter 1 of Colossians. It's the good news about Christ. Christ for us, right? What he did to accomplish our redemption according to God's gracious and glorious plan of salvation. But please try to understand, brothers and sisters, God's plan of salvation was to give us his Son and ultimately to make us just like his Son, Christ in us, the hope of glory. Too many professing Christians out there diminish the gospel by getting it half right, proclaiming only that good news of Christ for us, what Jesus did in our place to reconcile us to God, give us eternal life. But friends, the good news about our Savior is also this glorious truth about what Christ does in us. Because you see, he became man, not only to represent us before God and to reconcile us to God the Father, but also to unite us to himself, to take up residence in us by the gift of the Holy Spirit, and to transform us in his likeness for the fullness of our joy and for the glory of God. This is what Paul means when he says that the mystery now revealed is Christ in you, the hope of glory. Not the gospel just reaching you Gentiles so that you know about Christ and you believe on him for life in the kingdom to come. But Christ in you, Gentiles, he lives in you by his Holy Spirit. This is Paul's meaning. Our glorious hope of salvation is that we do have that future life in an everlasting kingdom on the basis of what Christ has done for us who believe on him. But see, it's not altogether future. The hope of glory is this future hope of the kingdom, but it's not altogether future, because the greatest gift we receive through God's grace is Christ Jesus himself. And he who died for us now lives in us, and by his Spirit renews us from one degree of glory to the next. 2 Corinthians 3 concludes with those words. Later in this letter of Colossians, Paul tells us to put on the new self, the new man. Do you remember that passage? Colossians 3. He does not mean for you to put on the new and improved you. I think that's sometimes what we, okay, I'm a Christian now, I should be a better me. No, that's not what Paul means when he says put on the new man. He means instead that we are to think and live in a whole new way, because by God's gospel grace, Christ for us becomes Christ in us. And you see that so clearly. You should see it in the beginning of chapter 3. If then you have been raised with Christ, see, he's taking the work of Christ and applying it to us, because that's what the Spirit of Christ does in us. The death and resurrection of Christ brings about conversion, renewal of life in Christian people. If then you have been raised with Christ, seek the things that are above, where Christ is, seated at the right hand of God. Set your minds on things that are above, not on things that are on earth. For you have died, and your life is hidden with Christ in God. Your life, hidden with Christ in God. When Christ, who is your life, appears, then you also will appear with him in glory. Yes, future glory with Christ. But today we have a bit of glory. Do you believe that, brothers and sisters? That in spite of all the brokenness of the world, in spite of the brokenness in your lives, the pains with which you suffer today, all the things that are out of joint, out of place, decaying, ruined, and in spite of the many failings that there still are in our Christian lives, there is a bit of glory, and it's ever increasing glory in our lives because we have Christ in us. This is why Paul can call us to imitate Christ. This is why we will be more and more like Jesus. We will become more like him, who died for us and now lives in us. All the fullness of God is in him. And guess what? It's in you and me as well. This is chapter 2. If you want to glance over there to chapter 2, verse 8, Paul says, "See to it that no one takes you captive by philosophy and the teachings of man, all kinds of different worldviews out there competing with the gospel." Colossians were tempted to listen to some of these things, adopt different religious practices and whatnot. Paul says, you don't need any of it. Turn away from all of it. Philosophy, empty deceit, according to human tradition, according to the elemental spirits of the world, and not according to Christ. For in him, the whole fullness of deity dwells bodily. He's the God-man. And you have been filled in him, who is the head of all rule and authority. Friends, I don't know if you read that and it dawns on you. It should dawn on you immediately. That's a glorious thing. In our sanctification, we are to be active, right? Not passive. We're to be working in our sanctification. As Paul explains later in chapter 3, he says, it takes this hard work of putting your sinful ways to death. That's putting part of your sinful self to death over and over again. Sanctification is hard. It requires us to learn to bear with one another in love, to practice a completely new way of life, relating to other people in an entirely new way, whether they be in the church or in our homes, in our neighborhoods, in the world at large. It's hard work, but brothers and sisters, it's possible for those who receive Christ by faith and keep on receiving Christ by faith. It's not only possible, it's sure to happen according to God's promise, because of the power of his steadfast love for us as children. But see, it's sure to happen for those who keep taking hold of Jesus. Are you still taking hold of him, who is your life with God? Are you here today only to learn about Christ? Or do you come to get more life in Christ? To worship him, yes, at the same time, to take hold of him as he comes to us through his word and gives himself to us again in the Holy Supper. As Paul describes his apostolic ministry, he makes it very clear his main task was to preach Christ, not merely to make Jesus known, but especially to make Christian disciples more mature. That's Paul's ultimate goal. Yes, to bring people to a knowledge of Christ, but then to build up those disciples into maturity. Notice what he says here, the other verse we want to really focus on this morning, verse 28. Him, Christ, we proclaim, warning everyone and teaching everyone with all wisdom, that we may present everyone mature in Christ. For this I toil, struggling with all his energy that he powerfully works within me. My second point, friends, and I'll conclude with this morning. God continues to give us Christ and changes us into his likeness, especially by means of his word. God continues to give us Christ and changes us into his likeness, especially by means of his word. In his ministry, in his service to the church, Paul struggled much, and he suffered much as well. Make no mistake about it, friends, God used Paul's hard work and his toiling, all the self-denying service that he'd give to others. God used Paul's persecutions, his imprisonment. He writes Colossians from prison. God used all of it to bring more people to Christ for salvation. But Paul was very clear about his primary task, to preach the gospel, right? His primary task, to proclaim the person and work of Christ. Because by this means, God is pleased to save sinners. Last week in my catechism class, we were considering how sinners come to faith in Christ. It's not something any sinner can do on his own. One who's spiritually dead, no sinner can, by free will, as you often will hear it said, put faith in Christ and be saved. It cannot happen. But God the Spirit changes hearts and brings us to faith in Christ. Answer 65 in the Catechism. The Holy Spirit creates faith in our hearts. By what means? By the preaching of the Holy Gospel. That's how God the Spirit creates faith in a dead sinner, making us alive through the powerful, living Word of God, creating faith in our hearts by the preaching of the gospel of Jesus Christ. Romans 10:17, Paul says, faith comes by hearing, and hearing by the word of Christ. But Paul is teaching here in Colossians 1 that our Christian growth also happens by the word of Christ. And I know that's familiar to you, friends, but I want to get you to think more about your engagement with Christ as you hear his word read and preached, even as you read it and think about it. Just as we gain life in Christ through the gospel, through the word of Christ, right? We also grow up into his likeness by the gospel. That's how God grows his children, so that we gain more life in Christ. So that we gain, as Paul says in verse 28 here, more maturity. Christ-likeness. In verse 28, that word mature means the end goal. It's from the Greek word telos. Some of you know that word telos means the goal. The final, the ultimate goal. It's teleon in Greek. And Paul's saying this is the ultimate task in his gospel ministry, to present everyone mature or finished. You could say perfect. To present everyone perfect in Christ Jesus. Wow, what a task, right? Brothers and sisters, we will only be perfect when God takes us out of this world at long last and brings us into his glorious presence. That's perfection. But if that is your end goal, if you're on track toward it, you seek after it more and more now in this life. And the way we mature as Christians, the way we progress on toward perfection, is by taking hold of Christ as he comes to us in his word, in the preaching and teaching of the word, and all the stories that you read there in the Word, through the many prophecies about him in the Old Testament, through all the promises of God, they are yes in Jesus Christ. Even through the warnings that we read in Scripture. That's what Paul says in verse 28. Him we proclaim, warning everyone and teaching everyone with all wisdom. You know, friends, the Word of Christ, it takes various forms. Just make sure you understand that this is the way he gives you life in himself. It's the primary way that he grows you into his likeness, so that Christ in you, the hope of glory, would be a more evident reality in our lives. Friends, don't just hear the word. Hearing the word, we hear it over and over. We hear it preached. We read it perhaps in our homes. We should be doing all of that on a regular basis. But friends, do not just hear the word. Pray that God would prepare your hearts to receive Jesus through that word. And exercise faith in your hearing. This is what the apostle says was wrong with Israel. They're always hearing the word, and they heard the gospel that you hear. Maybe not as clearly. The mystery is now made fully known, but they heard it. God revealed it to them. He revealed Christ to them again and again. His gospel came to that people. But in their hearing, they did not mix faith. Exercise faith, that open hand of the soul, to receive Christ. For that is the way we receive him, only by faith. That is the way we feed. It's the open mouth of the soul, isn't it? Faith. Faith in Christ, that we may have more life in him, and that we might be renewed by his word and spirit more and more into his likeness. Of course, there's a secondary means that he uses to feed us with himself, to grow us into maturity and to renew us into his image. And that would be the Lord's Supper. So we go to the table of the Lord again this morning, trusting that our Savior Jesus gives us bread and wine to assure us that he once gave his body and blood to accomplish our salvation by his death on the cross. But friends, let's go to the table and partake of that supper, believing also that he still gives us himself. In fact, that he feeds us believers spiritually with his body and blood today, just as truly as we eat the bread and drink the wine. And by means of this sacred covenant meal, joined to the preaching of the gospel today, our intimate fellowship with Jesus Christ shall be deepened and strengthened through the grace of God, so that we would decrease, but he would increase in us, yes, Christ in us, the hope of glory. In the name of the Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. Amen. Yeah.